Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Am I tough enough?
Strong and stable leadership.
Total rhubarb.
Hell yes, I'm tough enough.
Shut the fridge.
Not another one.
It's the Politics Show podcast.
Love podcasts, hate nonsense. It's the Politics Show podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
There it is. There it is.
I hate that so much.
It's like you never left.
Enjoy your Super Bowl watch party, Ed.
Yes, I did. I got steaming drunk eating buffalo dip. Cheered on.
No wings?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Just the dip.
To victory.
He knows that the Dallas Cowboys won in the Super Bowl. He's doing a thing.
I also literally didn't watch it. I was asleep.
Ava, is Patrick Mahomes now the GOAT?
I have to be honest. The only content I've seen is Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
I didn't quite realise until today how deep your knowledge of Taylor Swift... I knew you really liked her.
She is immersed in the lore.
But you were like, you were in real time fact-checking Ollie's points about Taylor Swift.
That's the least of it. If I mention Taylor Swift anywhere else, like might be in Joe content, might be in other content, I will get a text message from Ava Santina about it. I mentioned in passing, it was a couple of weeks ago now, someone wrote a piece and then...
It's 5:10 in the morning.
Yeah,
it's 10 past 5
in the morning, and I mentioned in passing, I can't remember what it was about, someone had written a piece, I think it was about Taylor Swift, or it was about...
It was more, in the New States.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, more broadly about kind of...
Oh, feminism and Taylor Swift.
Feminism and Taylor Swift, mm. Yes. And I referenced part of it in a bit of radio, mm-hmm. And I... In the break, I looked at my phone, and there was a text from Ava being like, yeah, I read the piece, wasn't that impressed?
Ava's fact-checked that article and is getting it published in the New Statesman. No, the Spectator, just to...
So she knows
spiked.
About it.
Spiked.
So she knows about it. We'll talk about the Super Bowl in a moment, shall we?
Yeah.
Should we catch up on the weekends first? When I asked you how your Super Bowl party was, it was sort of a coded way of saying, did you have a nice weekend?
Extremely coded. I thought you were just pretending that I had a Super Bowl party. Yeah, it was good. I was at the Scotland Rugby on Saturday.
Great game.
It was a good game, unless you're Scottish. Like most things are good, unless you're Scottish.
In which case, we make them miserable.
Do things to extremes. Try being Scottish.
But good vibes?
Yeah, it was good fun.
Other than the result.
There was a guy, a French guy, sitting a few rows in front of us, who every time Finn Russell made a mistake, stood up and just went like that. And then went
to you, to like
no,
the
just
crowd.
Like, no, to Finn Russell. He was like... And then he stood up when France scored. He stood up and was like, to the crowd. People were chucking things at him.
Your dad?
My dad was chucking things at him.
His dad threw Ed at him. Get him, son!
It's a well-worn routine.
Ed was showing me how to throw a rugby ball the other day. So did he throw you like that?
Yeah, I was like twisting.
What Ed was like, you hold the front. No. Caress the front. Twist from the back.
Yeah.
Head
spin pass.
Yeah. And I was like, this is a new technique for me.
You got it in the locker?
No. I think I gave one attempt and I decided I was... If I'm not good at a sport, I don't want to engage with it.
There's a rugby ball just off set, isn't there? We could go and get it and you could show everyone your spin.
No, I couldn't. I really can't do it. I've got, like, unless I'm going to be very good at something, I don't want to do it. Which, you can insert the joke here. Well, why are you doing politics?
It's always good to have your hater's voice in your own head. so you can in real time caveat what you're saying.
Yeah, it's mad up here, man.
don't come in. You won't like it.
You were in Cornwall.
I was in Cornwall, yeah. Had a very restful time. I'll tell you what. Is this normal? Does this? I had a massage, which was good.
They don't like you off normally. No. You have to ask for that. And
you have to pay the extra fiver.
Don't pretend you didn't ask for that.
You have to leave like a little cross in the corner of your...
Oh, I didn't tick the box. Yeah. She did, however, she just got my arse out for the whole massage. Which has never happened to me before.
Not even sort of like...
No, full. No, she pants down.
Wait, you had pants on and she removed them?
I had my
them.
Pants on, she took them down.
Like she was wiping your arse. Like you're a baby being changed. No, I don't think that's normal.
No, she was massaging my buttocks. Like elbow, she was fully in.
You must have been carrying a lot of tension there.
She said that.
Oh.
She actually said no afterwards.
Was it licensed?
Massage after dark.
Ollie stumbles into a pub. Can anyone do a massage?
No, she was afterwards. She was like sweating and panting. Her glasses had fogged up.
Stop it.
Yeah, they had. She like during the massage.
That is so funny.
It was all above board. My wife was on the table next to me. Mm-hmm. So
did she have the same treatment?
No, she had. She had. She wasn't. Having a massage, so they didn't feel the need.
What was she doing?
Time.
Sitting, watching you?
As Molly's being spanked.
She's making like, notes. She's like,
yeah,
making notes.
She's like, your dad.
But the masseuse afterwards said, oh, you have some serious issues. And you need like 3 or 4 sessions back to back.
They always say that.
That's how they get you.
But that's the thing. I'm not from Cornwall. No, she's not going to get any trade out of it.
I had a massage in, the Borders before Christmas. And the guy's like, oh yeah, you need several more massages. I was like, you're just trying to get me to come back to you. You want more business. My body's perfect.
I don't want to be judgmental, but I can imagine a masseuse on the Scottish Borders is very different to the one that Ollie found in Cornwall.
Why?
Just imagine them being a bit firmer.
She was firm, let me tell you. Have you ever had a Thai massage?
Yes.
No.
In Thailand.
Yeah.
It was a woman who was about 4'10".
Yeah.
Giving me a massage, and at one point
she bent you up like a pretzel.
But she told me to sit cross-legged.
Yeah.
Sat, planted one foot in between my legs, put me in like a seatbelt hold, and just threw me over her shoulder to crack my back. I'm like this, the
Did
right
it work?
Side of my back. Cracked like nothing you've ever heard. I was howling. I was like, that's the funniest thing that's ever happened. She was like, again. So go back in the same position. She goes to the other side and goes like that to the seatbelt over my left shoulder, throws me over my shoulder again. Back doesn't crack. And she's like, oh. And makes me do it again. Just this woman judo throwing me.
Yeah.
I lived with a masseuse for a while.
You learn a lot, don't you, about Thai culture. And I guess universal suffrage when you get a Thai massage.
What like the vote?
Yeah, like a woman's capacity for vengeance. Like,
oh, like the suffragettes.
Yeah. Because I
can
have,
see where that woman jumped in front of that horse.
No. But like a very unassuming 4'10" Thai lady who is probably like at least 60. They're often quite gnarly, mm-hmm. and they're all sort of sat in, like, when I was there anyway, they'll be sat in like the corner of the room, all drinking tea, like looking at Facebook or something and giggling. And then you come in and they just sort of like crack their hands and make mincemeat out of you. Like, yep. Literal, like bend you up like a pretzel, stand on top of you. Did they do that to you as well? Did they have the Probably. Ropes above?
Yeah. Oh, they didn't have the ropes.
Yeah.
She didn't need them.
And then they stand on top of you and, yeah, make mincemeat of you out of you for an hour.
How does that relate to universal suffrage?
I just think basically people underestimate women sometimes, don't they? And actually, that 4'10" woman will fuck you up.
At the ballot box.
At the ballot box and in the massage parlour. Get you a girl who can do both.
Can vote and give you a massage. I don't think this is the point. I don't think this is as insightful as you think this is, Ollie.
No, it was just an offhanded comment that was meant to be a joke. I wasn't actually... I don't think there's deep and meaningful lessons about suffrage in the massage parlour. Uh-huh.
I think you did think that until you voiced them out loud.
It's just a joke.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that? Yeah, she said I had a lot of gristle under my shoulder, which I've never heard before.
What does that mean?
She said you've got a lot of gristle under your scapula.
Like that arse sausage.
But you've eaten too much arse sausage and it's found its new home. Yeah, your body can't digest it. Yeah. Your body needs to store it somewhere. It's underneath your shoulders.
Two fat colons in his shoulders.
You've got like wings. Growing your scapulas are now like 6 inches long.
What did we think of the Super Bowl?
Truth be told, I did not watch a single minute beyond...
You watched the highlights?
I watched the last 5 minutes because this is mental. The highlights on YouTube are 21 minutes long. That's not highlights. That's a short TV program. I don't have time to watch that.
I like that before the show, we were like, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl, you know, its position in cultural hegemony. And Ed has taken that to be like, 20 minutes is too long for a highlight package.
It is. Far too long.
We need to talk to ourselves then because we've definitely rolled out more than that before. Like, are you joking? Every single highlight package of a select committee is like 2 hours long.
The select committee was 2.5 hours long.
Yeah. All of this is so good. And not because I'm just not watching it.
It's 45 minutes of end card.
But I guess you're right. 20 minutes is what? That's a third of the game?
Well, what I learned today was that there are four 15-minute quarters in it, which is an hour. But Ed and I were talking about when we were in the States and we went to see football games, and I was confused because I was like, I swear they were like 3 or 4 hours long. And it's because they stop play. So they do a little move, a little dalliance, and then they stop and then reset. That's a lot of downtime, a lot of looking at nothing at all.
So what were you doing when you went to the ground to watch the game?
No, I mean, it just, you know, I would mainly go for the tailgate, so I'd drink quite a lot.
They do say that, don't they?
Yeah, and then I ever actually did go in, which was very rarely, but if I did go in, I'd be like, what's going on?
It's
and
quite
then
expensive, support, isn't it, to go?
No, it's college.
Oh. And, it's expensive if you're not a student, but it's not.
Well, anyway, I would go inside, and then I would look at the two teams and decide which one was more attractive, and then I would root for that team. Okay. That was how I would go about.
You didn't just root for Chicago?
Huh?
You didn't just root for Chicago? But...
Well, because sometimes there would be like, I think, unless I've got this completely wrong, I'm pretty sure there was once that there was two Chicago teams playing.
Is there not just the Detroit Lions? No, that's a different city entirely, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a different state, actually.
Chicago Bears.
Is that it?
In Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's NFL rather than college.
Two teams would be baseball, wouldn't it?
White Sox, Red Sox.
It's actually
White Sox, Cubs.
It's actually quite possible that I'm thinking about baseball. It's entirely feasible. I actually ended up at the World Series.
When they won?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I did. Totally. I went on a date.
To the World Series?
Yeah, like Americans are really weird. They like when they take you like on a date, they want to like go and do like an activity, and I'm like, oh, okay.
I want to get
well,
blackout
go watch
drunk.
This fucking Rounders game. When can we go for a drink?
As it's like the most important Chicago victory in 100 years or whatever it was.
I don't know if it's the same for the World Series, but I understand going to the baseball is actually like quite cheap. Like it costs like $5 or something to get
Does
tickets.
It?
Yeah.
It's because there's so many games.
Yeah.
Because they just play like 5 in a row.
I feel like it was the Red Sox at the World Series.
That the Cubs beat.
Or maybe it was the Cubs.
The Cubs, the year that you and I were in America, the Cubs won the World Series.
Honestly, this is exhausting. Like, I just, I don't know.
Should we talk about the Super Bowl as a cultural moment?
Yes.
Red Sox are in Boston. It's the White Sox that are in Chicago.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
uh, I think here's my cultural take before we get to the Taylor Swift stuff, which I'm sure we'll cover. I think the NFL is basically the only thing that's keeping TV alive in America anymore. I think live sport is obviously basically foundational now, right, to linear TV. Mm-hmm. It's essentially the only thing left, I think, other than perhaps the news and reality TV, that is in any way a point of view for most people. And reality TV, it's kind of wavering now anyway, right, because you can go and watch Love Island on ITVX or The Traitors on iPlayer. So it's pretty much just live sport that makes people turn on the TV at a certain time to watch whatever is on it. And I think the NFL is essentially that for America. The Super Bowl is the most watched TV program in America. I think it's like 100 million, 150 million or something every year.
So what, one in three people watch it?
Yeah.
What are the other two doing?
Well,
boycotting because it's gone woke.
Oh, has it?
Yes. Yeah, because it's woke. And
they do take the knee often, isn't it?
Well, I think if you think about like the second biggest TV audience, which I think is for the Oscars over there, and the way that the Oscars no longer sort of occupies the same sort of cultural space and in a way feels as significant as the Super Bowl still does, and in fact, the Super Bowl increasingly does, and that demonstrates the power of the NFL. And what's to say the NFL couldn't just say, you know what, actually, sorry, cable news channels, we're going to go with Apple TV. We're going to do, because they could literally take the money and run, right? They could go, no, we're going to put all of the NFL on Netflix now.
Yeah, but I wonder, but everyone has it, don't they? Like, Nickelodeon had their stream of the NFL, so I think to buy out every other, you'd have to buy out every other provider. At which point, that'd be billions and billions of dollars.
But what he means, it's not like free to view, like how you can, like, you know, you have to have certain matches need to be on ITV or BBC here.
Yeah.
They don't have that kind of, you have a lot more power with where you put it, right?
I think they could sell the broadcast rights to a streamer and probably pull the rug on basically the entire American TV network business model.
So they could put it like Tucker Carlson on X.
That could go real well.
And they could just
go real well.
Did you watch the coin toss? Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I watched it on Friday.
Yeah.
What do we think?
An insane bit. That was a man really out of his depth.
Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
No, Putin. Yeah. Sorry, Putin.
I never read a mind like that, Tucker Carlson.
But do you know
he's
something?
He's really made me change my mind about Ukraine.
The discourse over here about it was driving me. It was like becoming my bugbear of the week. Of that week.
That's
of
a new
course,
segment.
It refreshes every Monday.
we should do that.
Bugbear of the week.
Jingle, little jingle now. Santina's bugbear of the week.
Yeah, well, where do I begin?
Go off, queen.
It's been another week on Hell Island. What bothered me was when they were discussing it on BBC, it was the sort of derisive and condescending terms in which they were discussing it. So it was, oh, well, if we'd been allowed the access, it would have been a much better interview because we know how to interview properly, whereas Tucker Carlson doesn't. I just thought that was incredibly self-bloviating. It really bothered me.
Yeah.
But you have to understand, like, it's like funnier when I like go out of body and I realize that I'm like in my kitchen listening to Radio 4, which is normal. If I'm ever in the house, that's what's going on. And I'm just like walking around the kitchen like, just fucking outrageous this. I'm just shaking my fist at the radio.
I disagree with you, I think. I think the Russia chose Tucker Carlson because they knew it'd be shit. That's why they did it. They've had all these requests from
I think they chose the biggest audience. I think they chose the biggest audience, and they chose him because not only would he have been quite deferential to him, they wouldn't have cut it the way that a traditional linear news channel would have done.
But
he got his entire
it'd be his own program voice out. It would be like a BBC meets Vladimir Putin. It'd be like an hour long interview. It would just be like a clip.
But that line about him not wanting to invade Poland was the most we've heard out of the Kremlin this entire time. And you've had people for the last 2 years, commentators saying he's only doing Crimea because he wants to get to Poland. And now for the first time you actually hear it from him, I don't want Poland.
Yeah, but do you believe it?
That doesn't matter. But I mean, what I'm saying is it was the most insight we've had into Putin this whole time.
I think people rip the piss out of Tucker Carlson, and there is a lot for which he is rightly derided.
Mm-hmm.
Do not forget that he has interviewed plenty of American presidents. He has done hours and hours and hours of primetime broadcasting. Initially, during the pandemic, I don't know if you remember this, he's basically one of the only people talking about the possible lab leak theory. At the time, he was literally being derided as, like, you are a racist, you're spouting nonsense about China. Lo and behold, 2 years later, what's everyone saying? Oh, yeah, it's actually probably quite possible. Never know, but it seems quite likely. Like, you can mock him rightly for a lot of things, but equally to be like, no, Tucker Carlson is completely pony and not up to the task of interviewing Vladimir Putin, I think that's also slightly disingenuous.
But then who? I think it's the reverse. Who would you prefer to? The BBC or Tucker Carlson?
But there wasn't a choice set. The Kremlin
had the choice.
Well, okay.
In an ideal world, who's interviewing Vladimir Putin?
I will tell you why I'm not, like, I love the BBC, but I'm not, like, rushing towards them in this moment. The BBC had the opportunity to interview Elon Musk, and it was one of the worst interviews I have ever heard.
Oh, yeah,
the questions
were dreadful.
The guy had no idea what he was talking about. I don't understand how he is the tech editor for North America. He should not have been there.
I think they got it on very short notice.
Yeah.
I think it was literally you're totally right.
You would have gone in there and knocked it out of the park.
Ava, you're so right. I'm so glad you said that. You're right in the sense that, for example, if you're like the poll ed in the UK and you happen to chance upon a Rishi Sunak interview, you already know what your first 10 questions are because you've been wanting and trying to ask them for the last week. Mm. If you're the North America tech editor, the Silicon Valley editor, you should know what your Elon Musk interview looks like before you get the confirmation that it's going to happen. Because you should have been absorbing you psychologically for however long, because of what you want to do and achieve. I guess you can always say there are people that you would want to interview over someone else. Like if you love Piers Morgan, you might be saying, well, Piers Morgan should have done it. If you love John Simpson, you should say, oh, John Simpson should, you know, oh, Nick Robinson or Michelle should have done it. You know, like, you can go and go and go and go and go. The fact of the matter
Michelle Hussein. That's the only one I would take over Tucker Carlson.
That is not the only person
My
over
queen.
Tucker Carlson.
What are you talking Queen about? Michelle, number one. Prince Tucker, number two.
The only person.
I loved, I haven't watched the whole thing because I'm not mental, but after I basically...
I did.
Did you watch all 2.5 hours of it?
I did the compilation for this channel.
How long was that highlight reel?
That was about 8 minutes.
The perfect length of a highlight reel.
well, we need YouTube content.
What was I going to say? Fucking the start of the interview where Tucker asks him a question and Putin goes like, are we here for a serious chat or like a, you know, is this talk like show. A light-hearted talk show? And Tucker goes like,
yeah.
And then there's silence. I thought that was incredibly funny. Like seeing him, he was so like emotionally overwrought and like, oh, I don't know how to respond to this. And then I think it was quite shortly afterwards, Putin then goes, you wanted to join the CIA, didn't you? Or as I understand, he's like, I understand you applied to join the CIA. I don't know whether that's public knowledge or not. But I love the idea, if you're Putin, that you've just got the GRU to essentially do like background research on like the journalist that's interviewing you. So you can be like, Tucker, I understand you love big, beautiful women.
Yeah.
just to rinse him in the interview.
See that CIA thing? I saw that clip before I watched the thing. I was looking out for that bit. I don't think that's real, that bit.
Really?
I didn't see it within the... Did you see that in the video?
I thought it was right at the beginning.
You only watched the highlight reel.
No, I made the highlight reel. I watched the full 2 hours.
You made the highlight reel
of the 2 hour interview.
And you didn't watch all of it?
No, I did watch all of it.
He's saying he can't remember it.
But as in, I was looking out for that bit. I was like, and I also thought when I rewatched that clip, I was like, that sounds like a different translated voice. I thought that bit was fake.
Oh, I've been fucking had.
But then did I just miss it? Because then I transcribed it. And then looked for it again. I couldn't find it.
We should find this out because we'll need to know whether we include it on this.
Yeah.
Well, we can come back to that.
Tucker Carlson will come after us for accusing him of being in applying for the CIA.
Ed.
It's legitimate.
Yes.
It's real.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Will I get my apology in writing, Ed Campbell?
Well, no, probably not. I give it verbally. I just give it verbally and it was recorded.
The Independent wrote it up, so...
Well, that's as good as true.
If
is it just
wrong,
The Independent?
Pardon?
Is it just the
Independent? Oh, stop fucking spinning on this. Come on, give it to me.
No, the Mail did it as well. So that a reputable newspaper's done it, we can relax.
Do you think future NFL teams will base their recruitment on whether or not players are dating other celebrities?
See, I hate this.
to help with the marketing of their team franchises going forward. Yes. Because Taylor Swift has clearly elevated the Chiefs from being football team to global phenomenon.
She hasn't done anything. I think she's actually had zero agency in all of this. I think that she has started dating a man who is on a football team, and she has gone to support him, as is normal for girlfriends of men. And
women too.
There has been relentless intrusion into her personal life ever since. She hasn't asked them to put her on the Jumbotron. She hasn't asked them to continuously take photos of her. But for some reason, she is to blame for attention being diverted towards her. I actually think it's quite a case in point example of sexism, because that wouldn't happen to a man, and she's carrying the blame for it. All of those people on Twitter and other social media sites saying that she's ruined football for them, what has she done apart from
date
him?
Yeah, it's mental. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's not what I was saying. What I was saying
was... felt like you were, actually. what I was
saying is, she, by virtue of being who she is, one of the most famous people on the planet, by going out with about who she's going out with, she has created a whole load of interest in this thing that amongst groups of people that previously expressed either little to no interest in the Super Bowl, full stop, or go one step further and created a whole host of interest in the Kansas City Chiefs as a franchise.
Your phrasing I don't agree with, because she hasn't done it.
The NFL has created
it. Taken away from her. So the NFL might be interested in how they can exploit another female to do that, but she is not the reason. Do you see what I'm saying? She is involuntarily the reason.
So that, I mean, that was the premise I was establishing, yes, whether semi-sarcastically saying whether or not teams would base their...
I don't appreciate your sarcasm on such a serious topic.
I can tell. But, I mean, are they exploiting her?
I would argue they are,
capitalizing rather than exploiting. Like, she's... The attention she's getting is not like her level of fame or scrutiny or attention has increased exponentially.
I would say it has. There's been Kansas City fans who've been like burning effigies of her face on like, and other football teams have been doing it too. Imagine if it were you. You've got a bit of a public profile now. Imagine
we're
if
similar levels, me and Taylor.
Yeah. But imagine if all of the, I don't know, if all of the people from Reddit came and watched you and took photos every time you went to one of your girlfriend's ballet recitals.
But then I would really appreciate what I was doing for UK Ballet and raising the profile. Yeah. Do you know...
Do you know who put UK Ballet on the fucking map?
Ed Campbell
did.
Do you know what the top two selling NFL jerseys in Britain are?
Kelsey and Swift.
Kelsey and Kelsey. Travis Kelsey and his brother. Mm. And the brother, Jason Kelsey, reckons they don't realise that he's not Travis Kelsey.
There was actually a really, really good clip of him meeting Ice Spice. Did you see that?
Sick. Yeah. I think Jason Kelsey's sick.
Where he goes and hugs Taylor, and then he turns and sees Ice Spice, and he's like, very nice to meet you, man. And puts his hand out and like shakes it.
Did you see him, I think it was the playoffs, when Travis Kelsey scored, he rips off his shirt, has a beer in each hand, and jumps into the crowd from the box. Jason Kelsey's sick. I think he's a...
Do you ever listen to their podcast?
I see clips on TikTok, so yes.
I could imagine you would like that. Yeah, I think that'd be cool. Your humour. Yeah,
I think they're cool.
That
guys.
Was where it was first decided that... Well, that was where he first said that he'd been trying to get hold of Taylor, was on that podcast.
Really?
He made a friendship bracelet for her with his number on it, and he didn't get to see her, so he couldn't give it to her. And one of her gigs.
How do you know all this? How do you know all this? Earlier on the desk, there is a photo. It's the same moment. It's Ice Spice and Jason Kelsey and Taylor Swift all together. And there was a tweet that was like, I can't believe Cumtown made this happen. The explanation being, Matty Healy goes on Cumtown. He does like racist impressions whilst he's dating Taylor Swift. Following that, Taylor Swift then does a collab on Karma with Ice Spice, possibly in a sort of, yes, I might be dating this wrong, but I'm not bad, I'm cool, don't worry about it. And so the tweet is basically alleging, like, it's unbelievable that Ice Spice is now in a box at the Super Bowl with Taylor because of Cumtown. I put this forward on the desk, and I am being fact-checked in real time by Ava Santina, yeah, being like, I'm afraid, Ollie, the chronology simply does not stack up.
You didn't even look it up. You were just like...
Because?
Off the dome.
Why doesn't it work?
The remix had come out before she started dating Matt Healy for the second time. Dated him the first time in...
Did they date twice?
Yes.
You say yes.
You dated twice.
What, I would date Taylor Swift twice?
Yeah, you would, yeah.
They dated for the first time when...
I don't
want
to say no.
They dated for the first time in 2013, just before 1989 came out. And second time last year when she broke up with Joe Alwyn. And then there was meant
to be... She went back to Matty.
Yeah, there was meant to be two bonus tracks that were co-written by Matty Healy on the new release of 1989. And they were... His name was dropped off the album when they broke up.
Good Lord.
Okay. So, in light of that information...
Sorry.
...and your clear knowledge, respect, and appreciation of Taylor Swift, do we think it was appropriate for her to fly by private jet from Tokyo back to America to watch the Super Bowl?
The only flight that I actually think is okay is that flight. The rest of them are taking the piss. She took a 13-minute flight the other day.
Okay, stop. We'll talk about this in a second.
St. Louis.
If you could, if I said, on the tarmac outside right now, G6, it will take you to Winchester? Portsmouth?
You've got that urgent meeting in Norwich.
Yeah, sorry. Ed, we have to get you back to North Norfolk to interview the oldest place in
they're
Britain.
They're even older this time.
Private jet outside, it will take you 13 minutes.
Yes.
You're getting that flight.
Yes, but I've not had a million other private jet flights.
Yeah.
I think my carbon footprint compared to Taylor Swift is minuscule.
I guess what I'm getting at is like...
She flew from St. Louis to St. Louis.
What?
She literally flew from like one part of it to another. It was a 13-minute flight.
That's what the 13-minute flight was?
Yes.
So like from one airfield to another?
Yes.
Just to get the other side.
It's obscene.
It wasn't like a 20-minute drive or something insane like that.
No.
But what it is... No. We worked it... Sean, didn't we add up how long the...
I don't think it was the same St. Louis. I think it was...
No, it was two... But it was in the it was in the area. I'm not saying she flew out of one... Like, anyway.
That's like...
It was like an hour drive.
Isn't it? In the St. Louis area.
Yeah. But what... So what I don't... I'm not saying that she should have to fly commercial all the time because I understand there's probably a security risk around that. It's like, why I wouldn't want her on my flight, for example, if I'm flying like
because
normal.
Of what you would do.
Normal. No, because I'm thinking I can't control myself. Uh-huh. No, I could. I actually would not be that bothered if
shut the fuck up.
Lie.
Yeah, I just worried that Hunter's listening and I really want to be the one that gets sent from Joe to go to cover the stuff in summer. I'd be so fine. Anyway, she just doesn't need to travel that much and she's been literally following him around to go and watch his games and I just think that's a total waste of like your carb. If you can't make it in a commercial flight, you shouldn't go.
Yeah.
Like you can watch it on TV and it's fine.
Also with the tour stuff, she dictates the dates and the locations of that. So you could take longer.
That's pre-planned. That's all been booked in before she even started dating Travis Kelce.
I don't mean in relation to Travis Kelce. I mean like even if she wasn't going to Travis Kelce, she'd be on a private jet every single day. You don't need to do that. You can space out your tour.
No, I understand why she would need to fly private between like a tour date. I can, that's fine with me. But it's the in between the tour dates, dotting around all the time.
Basically being like, you're in Tokyo, you've got 3 nights off, so I know what I'll do. I'll go back to LA for a couple of nights.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
That's what
seems
I don't
gratuitous.
Get.
Seems gratuitous. I guess, what is the acceptable way for someone to travel for something like that, you know? Because, what was his name? The guy who came in and was doing environment stuff with us over the summer on the podcast. Fly once every 7 years.
Oh.
What was his name? Take the Jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they will obviously be like, absolutely not. She should not be, she should not be flying anywhere. Yeah. She should be walking.
She should not be getting new clothes.
But they, you know, when you think about some of the sacrifices that other people are having to make, and I'm not just talking about like little sacrifices, like we're washing out our pots and stuff like that. But if you think about ginormous companies that are having to offset their carbon and sack thousands of workers to go green, when someone like that is just taking jaunts on flights everywhere, I think
CO2.
That, it's just, I think it's annoying, and I think it's really disrespectful, actually.
Yeah. Are you going to make that point to her?
But anyway, if we could cut all of this out.
There's that student.
Taylor, we know you're listening.
There's that student who's been tracking her
on Twitter.
Private jet.
Yeah.
It's the FAA, so he's not. Like,
it's publicly available information, isn't it? Yeah. She did him with a cease and desist, but I think there's.
They do that with Elon Musk. Elon Musk.
He went mental about it. Didn't he privately intervene? Well, he bought Twitter so that he could delete this man's account.
Wait, that is actually what happened, wasn't it? I forgot about that.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway.
Because I remember him tweeting at the time being like, you'll soon be gone.
Like, I'm coming for you.
What a loser.
Anything else? Usher? Do you want to talk about Usher?
I think we've done a lot of Taylor Swift and Super Bowl.
We've done a lot of Super Bowl, haven't we? We should probably move things on. You are so desperate to talk about this A-levels girl.
Can we just talk quickly about Trump?
Yeah.
Because I think it falls into our... not Travis Kelce. why have I forgotten his name? Putin. Who interviewed him?
Tucker Carlson.
falls into that because that was another similar gripe of mine with the BBC.
Okay, go on.
So did you hear what he said about NATO?
Yes.
Yes.
And he said that he wouldn't help any country out that wasn't paying their fair share.
Yep.
What did you make of that?
I question the usefulness of an alliance that relies solely on American military hegemony if the man who is quite possibly going to be the next American president publicly says he will not support any of the people in the alliance.
Come and get him. Yeah,
I think you're basically putting like a for sale sign on like Estonia.
free parking.
Yeah, for the Russian tanks. He's making his point in his own unique way. I think it is entirely valid to say you want to be part of NATO and should you need to invoke Article 5 and demand that America comes, an attack on one is an attack on all, and you want us to come to your rescue, you cannot conveniently ignore the other part of the NATO charter, which says that you have to spend 2% of your GDP on defence. I think that's a legitimate thing for him to say.
Mm. Well, but Ava, what's your take?
Do you have a take?
I'd like to hear yours, because you said to me
each other here. No, Ava, go first.
Ava said this morning... Wait till you hear my take on this. so that's what I'm waiting for.
I can't even remember what it was.
Are you joking?
It was entwined with the BBC thing. Basically, I didn't like the infantilization that was happening to Trump on the BBC this morning. Again, Radio 4.
You were batting for interesting characters against the BBC.
Because what annoyed me was I think that is a pretty sensible thing to say. You've spelt that out better than I was planning to. But
thank you again, Ava.
But I just think that... Ollie, please.
Please let me go on Taylor Swift's private jet.
Yeah.
Is there an opportunity to go on Taylor Swift's private jet? Is that what we're talking about?
I don't think so.
Yeah. But...
Taylor, if you're listening...
They were talking about him and they were saying, like, you know, this is just one of those things that Trump says that doesn't have any basis to it. And he says it to wind up his supporters and he gets the cheer that he would like. And I was thinking that would feel comfortable coming out of Starmer's mouth. That's not a ridiculous thing to say, that if you're not going to contribute and you can't defend yourself, you shouldn't be in NATO. Mm. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
And that kind of like Trump said it, so it's stupid. Is so unhelpful because that's how you ended up with the Capitol Hill riots.
That partisan nature when it comes to reporting on him is one of the reasons that leads to the sort of the ferocity and sort of diehard nature of his fans, right? Is because when he does make legitimate points about things, if your default mode of engagement with that is, well, Donald Trump said it, so it must be fucking, you know, a joke, a nonsense, or incoherent, you know, delete as appropriate, rather than engaging with the substance. And yeah, he has obviously a slightly deranged way of expressing himself, but nonetheless, can you seriously say, yes, you should be able to join NATO, not pay the 2% as required, and still expect America to come and defend you. I think that's a reasonable. You might disagree with it. That's fine. You can disagree with that sentiment, but to suggest that it's, you know, a mental thing for him to say. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the conversation, which is basically everyone should be arming up. I think that's pretty dangerous rhetoric. But parking that for one second, if we are arming up,
fucking pony up, son.
Yeah.
Ed.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm somewhere in between in that. I think it's legitimate to point out that what Trump has said goes against American foreign policy since the advent of NATO. Mm. I think that's like the BBC could have used more tactful language to do that. I think he's like saber rattling, or what's the opposite of saber rattling? So like, saber putting away,
sheathing.
Yeah, he's no more saber for you guys. Unless you bring your own sabers. Like America's been like. Has essentially been the funding for NATO since forever. Mm. And so objecting to it now, when there's a legitimate threat, a more and more serious threat from Russia against this alliance, doesn't seem like the smartest thing to do. That's my opinion on it. I don't think it's necessarily wrong to point out. Mm. He's going against the orthodoxy of American foreign policy.
That's Ed Campbell, Joe's Stop the War Coalition correspondent there.
I think I'm pro the war.
sorry, pro. Ed's pro-war, yeah. Mm. We'll get there. We've spent so much time talking about the Super Bowl. We have a lot of topics to cover.
Oh, we better skip that A-level girl.
I think we're going to have to skip the A-level girl.
Can we skip the recession and do A-level girl?
I was just going to go to Gove on housing.
Can we come back to A-level girl?
Oh, come on. Let's just let him do it.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's the Politics Show cast.
Ed, what's been going on?
Why do you hate this school child?
I don't hate her. I don't.
Go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry for her.
You feel sorry for her?
There's a A-level student, 17, and she's doing 28 A-levels. Is that what it is? Yeah. She's sitting 28 A-levels, 25 of which she's doing in her own time. Mm. She's obviously very bright. She's got very high IQ. She doesn't feel challenged with stuff at school. I just think it's a real shame that she's channeling that energy into doing A-level courses, which will have no impact on her life beyond getting into university. There could and should be a lot more constructive things she could be doing.
Like playing Fortnite.
Like playing Fortnite. Imagine how good at Fortnite she'd be. She'd be sick if she's that smart. She could be like the all-time Fortnite player.
28 just feels excessive.
I don't agree.
Really?
Yeah, I don't agree with you.
Why?
Well, I think clearly she's made you feel intellectually inferior, and you're picking on her.
I'm not true at all.
Ed did tell me that you only have to do 5 hires in Scotland, but he did do 6.
Yeah, that's a bigger number than I might as well. I could have done 28.
Chose not to. It was too sick at doing spin passes in rugby, which I've since shown Ava how to do.
I had a girlfriend.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend. She went to a different school.
She actually had a girlfriend at the same time.
I had 2 girlfriends, really. All my time is taken up with my 2 girlfriends.
My 2 girlfriends, literature and rugby. I love them both equally.
Guy who fails the school exams because he's polyamorous.
Look. If she is smart enough to take 28 A-levels, uh-huh, and that's what rocks her boat, fucking crack on.
But I think the point she's making herself is there should be other things for me to experience and do beyond. Because she's not socialised or mature enough for university, presumably. She should be able to go. There should be like a provision for exceptionally smart kids as well.
Where's she from? Stoke, was it?
I don't know.
You were reading on like the Stoke Times or something earlier.
No, it's just the Times. Stroud. I think.
Stroud. Stroud.
She wasn't Strood. Stroud. Stroud or Strood?
Is Strood a different place?
There's two places. Yeah.
Is there? Anyway, that's I saw the game with an ST when I was looking over your shoulder on the computer, which I often do. I just don't think that would fly down. Like, I just don't think it would fly in a lot of places. Wouldn't other people in the like kids in the class be like, "Can you calm down?"
But like teachers don't want her to do 20 A levels.
Yeah, because that's annoying. Can you?
The admin involved.
Can you imagine like you've got a kid in your class constantly going, "I'm not challenged enough. I need to do 28 examinations." You'd be like,
timetabling wise, that must be a nightmare. Come May.
There's a scene in Gilmore Girls where Paris Geller, who is the like SWAT, and she's like this girl, yeah, but in Gilmore Girls, and she has sex, and that ruins her life.
So, in what sense?
Like she just can't cope with it. She doesn't get into Harvard. It's
because
this whole thing.
Sex.
It's this whole thing.
It's part of the admissions process, Ed. Surprised you don't know that.
Oh my God.
You and your six hires.
Virginity
testing. Your rugby spin
pass. Are you a Gilmore Girls household?
I was, yeah. Mm.
So you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Kevin and Perry thing where Kevin has sex?
No.
It's very funny. It's very funny. Kevin, the teenager, the Harry Enfield character, just is a dickhead to his parents the whole time. Typical stereotypical teenager. Loses his virginity, and then he's a ray of sunshine to his parents. It's a good sketch. Would recommend.
So, children, you can study 28 A-levels, or you can have a cultural knowledge like Ed has just demonstrated.
She'll never have seen that.
Look, I think it's fine, isn't it? You've got like an insanely high IQ. You put that to use. You study. Like, you start with your A-levels. You move on to undergraduate. Maybe she'll do a postgraduate. Maybe she'll do a doctoral thesis.
And does she need an A-level in film?
Yeah, because it's like... What's
fucking gonna... Daily Mail. What's she doing? Media studies? Fucking idiot. What's your IQ? 161. Idiot. Media studies?
Is there like, A-star in Land Economy?
She's doing all them languages, yeah? And then, like, the best thing that's ever happened to me with Spanish is that I can go over there and, like, I can order some, like, I can order una cerveza, por favor.
Oh, like, stop it. Don't put it on like that. We
I'm
all know
just
you speak
saying,
Spanish.
But I'm just saying, what else does it... What does it serve you?
That's what I'm saying.
To be able to speak five languages.
We're just having all this.
That's such a bad example.
Yeah, the languages thing
Listen,
is. That is
like a terrible example. You've made your own bed there.
I've made all my takes now. So
she should be watching Tucker Carlson on X.com.
Listen to Donald Trump.
What can you do? Speak six languages? How's that going to benefit you in life? What do you do with that? Become a translator? Idiot.
I feel sorry for her, and I think she should have. She should be able to think more fulfilling than just reading AQA syllabuses.
She can do her film studies, but she can watch like a lot of films on MUBI
at once. Yeah. She can interpret different.
I can't believe thoughts. You managed to get me to talk about this. To be quite honest with you, can we talk about Michael Gove in the Times at the weekend?
Yeah, you're saying that like you didn't just lead a conversation about the Super Bowl and Taylor Swift half an hour.
That's like a significant cultural moment.
Everyone's buying Jason Kelsey's sweatshirt.
No one has heard about that story until we just told them about it. But like, literally no one.
What, the A-level? I've seen a lot of tweets about it. It's very funny. Someone said, I did 28 A-levels and it did me no harm, which I thought was a good line. I've got zero A-levels.
Was it her?
I've got zero A-levels.
Good for you. You pulled that joke with me earlier and yeah. I didn't laugh then either.
Well, no, you asked me how many I had.
Yeah.
Good, let's do your stupid
only because I knew that you would have been SWAT-like.
Not another one!
It's the Politics Show cast.
Michael Gove says, it's hardly surprising that young people are checking out from democracy and don't feel like democracy is delivering for them the outcomes they have because the British system isn't delivering them anything. They can't get on the housing ladder. I think it's a valid point. What do we think?
Can I pose you a question?
Oh, I'd love it if you posed me a question, Ava. Thank you. Let's have some serious discussion rather than this 28 A-level bollocks.
That's what I'm saying. That's my argument about the 28 A-levels.
No. The discussion of it is bollocks, Ed. 28 A-levels? If you put a CV in front of me with 28 A-levels on it, I'm giving that person a
no,
job.
No, you're not.
What's her name? Manor Chima, look me up. I'll hire you.
And we need a videographer, actually.
We need a new presenter for Extreme Britain.
She can do it all over the world. she can send her anywhere.
Extreme Britain in six languages.
And she has one in Land Economy, so that'll be interesting. Critical thinking.
She's done an A-level in critical
That's
thinking.
What I was actually like, doing 27 A-levels.
Ava, you wanted to ask me a question. Pray tell.
Where did Michael Gove publish this new proposal?
It was in the Times, wasn't it?
And where was he interviewed about it after?
Laura Kay.
And what do you think the
Should
age range... what do you think the age range of people who read the Times and watch Laura Kay is?
Plus 45.
So tell me why you're sitting on a podcast, our podcast, that is
like a cuck.
So many people who are under 40 who this policy will actually affect.
Yeah.
And why are you delivering the word of Michael Gove? And why is Michael Gove not here himself?
Yeah. And why am I sat next to Ed Campbell and not Michael Gove?
Did we ask Michael Gove, to be fair?
I did.
Did you?
I did.
Yeah.
I thought do you want to see what he said to me in response?
Go fuck yourself, you call me bastard.
Do you know what?
When hell fucking freezes over, buddy.
I have no intention of doing this. I'm just telling your parents to make them think that I will. Fuck you and fuck your audience. No, I'll tell you what, Ed. I would have preferred it if he'd have said that to me. Because this is what he said.
That's so bad. It's just the prayer emoji.
But you know what I realised when you sent me that?
Yeah. It's a bit namaste.
You're not even going to believe it when I tell you.
I don't
know
if it is namaste. I said, Michael, you are right that housing reform can win you an election. If you'd like to make the argument to the people trying to get on the ladder rather than their parents via the Times, you are welcome on Politics, Joe.
Are you looking his number?
You haven't saved his contact yet.
Yeah, no, I have saved his number. Yeah, his number's not on there.
Anyway.
It's a prayer emoji.
Why won't he come here and talk about... Why are you telling the audience about these new Tory policies? If they're so good, why doesn't he come and speak to the people who it's actually going to affect?
There's a lot of fear, isn't there? Let's put that out there. There's a lot of fear about coming on here.
Well, we do make you have a massage before you...
Right, Michael, get your ass out.
Just bum.
Claire's going to need your gluttural chain.
Sean comes out with like one of those headbands.
Head torch.
We pretend it's not Sean.
He's in his Mai Tai gear.
What were we saying?
You were annoyed that Michael Gove's not on the podcast.
Yeah, well, no, he... First of all, I think he would be a great podcast guest. First of all, I think that'd be great. Second of all, this is how you get them to come on. Second of all, I think people are a little bit scared about coming on.
Yeah.
Peter Zamyatin, laughter is our greatest weapon. Laughter can kill anything, even murder itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the risk of being mocked. I think coming on something like this, you live and die by your personality, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a wet wipe, you're going to get found out next to the white heat of Ava Santina's takes
really
in chat.
Horrible.
I'm being serious.
I give one bad take.
Your takes have been good.
Trump, good. Girl with five languages, bad.
Michael Gove wouldn't stand up to that kind of commentary. And, let's be honest, they've blacklisted us, haven't they? Ever since the hustings. So
yeah,
they're actually not allowed to come on our show.
We'd been blacklisted before the hustings.
Well, yeah, I mean, in effect.
And what did we do? Just point out the things.
Well,
Ed actually posed a security risk, I think.
Yeah, you do that.
Let me in!
See how scary that was?
Yeah. Let me in! I'm gonna...
Do you remember when... we were phoning from the office to be like, can you just let them in?
Mm. Should we give them context as to what we're talking
about?
Yeah,
talk about Ed. You were there. Go on.
So this was outside the Norwich hustings during the Conservative leadership election in 2022, was that? Yes.
Yes.
So summer of 2022, me and Harry, our colleague, were going to all the hustings that we could. I had a week's holiday in between, so I actually went to three. So it wasn't many. But I asked to speak to someone of like head of press or head of relations at the hustings, and they very rudely were like, no, absolutely not, under no circumstances. Then, so I was standing outside boxing people, and the police came up to us and were like, excuse me, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, just doing some box pops. I said, we've had reports that you were casing the hotel this afternoon. Pointed out. So Harry was wearing... So what were we... I think I was wearing...
Oh, yeah, the two least inconspicuous outfits I've ever seen.
We were wearing like... So I was wearing jeans and a black t-shirt. Harry was wearing jeans, a black t-shirt and a green beanie.
Yes, yeah.
The Antifa uniform.
Yeah. But you've got to remember everyone else is in suits. Yeah.
But then Harry was... The policeman was like, someone... with his exact description pointing at Harry. We've just found this out now. We've just found this out right now. This is the first report we've had of someone, a potential like security risk. And I was like, okay, who told you, did the people inside the party tell you this? And they were like, yes.
They gave away the source that quickly.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, well, can I tell you what I think?
He's a good journalist.
Can I tell you what I think's happened?
Put Vladimir Putin opposite him, yeah. He won't stand up to him.
I think someone sent you on slightly the wrong scent because we just arrived in Norwich half an hour ago. I have train tickets. To show you, and I think what they've done is just remembered what we were wearing and been like, "Oh, sorry, officer. you know the future prime minister of the UK is going to be here. I should probably tell you about the security risk from hours ago." should have told you earlier. That's on me. That's on me. It's actually two boys wearing these outfits, and they're over there. And you should get them. Mm. That was my experience. The Norwich hustings.
There were a few conversations that were being had between the office and CCHQ that were going so badly. And at one point they were like, can you tell him to move away from the bins? So I don't know what you were doing.
I find fucking something.
But what's funny is that
they love that energy.
But all this was happening. I was just trying to do a vox pop for like an hour. We did 2 hours to do it. The police had taken up 45 minutes of my time. And I had to like, I was then just stressfully. Mm. Trying to find tourist
interview. Then we tweeted it, and it actually made the BBC. Mm. And then CCHQ gave a statement to the BBC in which they told them that we were making it up.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Are you going to defend them?
No, I'm not going to defend them.
Anyway, whenever you're free.
I don't know how much good it does our cause to air the laundry in public, but I guess at this point. Look, I think once we get to the election, I think things will change quite dramatically, to be honest with you, because...
Should we talk about the substance? Sorry to interrupt.
Of Michael Gove?
Of the announcement?
Yes. Please.
No, he will come here himself.
No, don't give him that cop-out, Ed.
So,
no, go on.
An end to no fault evictions, finally, once and for all.
God, it's almost as if they've been promising it for like 6 years.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's like a, I hate that term, silly term, no fault eviction.
Yeah.
Well, it just means the end of a contract.
Well, I don't...
Not necessarily.
But what it means is that at the end of that contract, the landlord has decided that they're not going to renew it.
Yeah.
Even if you have to stay. So it's a no fault eviction.
That's not just what it means though, is it? But if you're including that in your overall statistics, then I can understand the problem. But a no-fault eviction is just being like, I'm going to evict you, I've had enough of this.
Or even like, because you want to increase the rent.
Yeah, because in my contract, I can evict you at any point with 1 month's notice.
Yeah.
I'm choosing to do that now, not when the tenancy agreement is up, because that would just be the end of the tenancy.
Mm-hmm. And
that's what no-fault eviction means.
It would be a much more European system with like rolling tenancies rather than a strict... fixed term.
Was it you or Laura that was telling me that in Scotland the tenants decide when the tenancy agreement
is over? Yeah, so this already exists in Scotland. This is like a real, it's not abnormal. There's a lot of, well, the landlords are angry about this, believe it or not. They're not massively in favour of tenants' rights, but it's already happened in Scotland. And I think I saw some landlord on Twitter or someone saying, so if I rent my flat for 12 months and want it back, I can't just get it back. Like, well, yeah. That is the case because someone lives there. That's someone's home now. Mm.
Because they have the option to sell, but the renter has no option but to rent. Like they've got no option but to be there.
No,
landlord has plenty of options.
It's also when you think about the tenancy stuff like that, you might have to move. Say you're a family, your job might be in the local area. You have a 20-minute walk, 20-minute commute. Your child goes to the local school. Let's take London as a case example. The housing market is so shit and so difficult, you might end up having to move to a completely different part of London. So your business, your career is uprooted, your child's friendships are uprooted, their education is uprooted. You have to settle in a completely new part of London instead of just having you should be much more secure in your home. Because I think that's what's lost in this as well. When you move into a flat, it is thinking about it in terms of a year, it's really hard to actually settle for that fixed amount of time. You're like, well, I would make my room nice, but I'll probably be out of Europe 6 months. Well, I would get this for the living room, but there's no point because I have to get rid of it.
And you don't know what space you're going to be in the next
time. You might not space for it. You might not be able to do all these things. I think having the end of fixed terms, having rolling contracts, stuff like that is much, much better for having a home, obviously, at the expense of the landlord.
And on top of that, his house building pledges, right? Which regular podcast listeners will remember when we had the Centre for Cities on. And they were talking about having a 4.4 million housing shortfall in the number of houses built since the end of the Second World War when compared to our European neighbours. So to combat that, I think it is in less than 10 years, you need to build 600,000 homes every year. Mm-hmm. So unless he or the Labour Party, and the Labour Party's pledge, I think at last check, was 300,000, wasn't it? Was it 300,000 a year?
Well, go scrap the house building targets.
Sensible.
Yeah.
But don't worry, you can do them on brownfields now.
Great.
You can build one house on a brownfield site.
You do need to change the planning system as well. So, like, that planning reform, that needs to happen.
But, you know, brownfield site as well, a lot of conservationists still get really upset about it because they go, well, there's been these butterflies that are now floating around here, even though it is a disused oil rig.
They shouldn't exist in nature, but they do now. So we've got no choice.
They're fluorescent yellow.
They're ultimately a symptom, but we like them.
Yeah.
Well, one could consider building a million agroforestry small holdings as part of your house building targets, couldn't you? Mm-hmm. Where man exists in symbiotically with nature, but
I don't think
they're ready to hear that from Michael Gove or Wilkinsburg just yet.
No, I don't think British politics is ready for that.
No one's ready for that.
No one's ready for that.
I keep talking about it. No one cares.
But you need to get the farm. You need to really reorient the discussion of farming in this country.
Land, peace, bread.
Yeah.
Land, peace, and bread.
Yeah.
What peace do we need?
In Gaza.
Okay. Yeah.
In Ukraine.
Yeah.
It's Russian revolution, isn't it?
Yeah, but we're not at war, is my point.
Total rhubarb. It's the politics show cast.
It's 28 billion.
Yeah, so I guess the Labour Party has looked at the future ecological viability of the planet and decided that it's not worth 28 billion quid.
No. Do you know what I think is really revealing about this? Did you read the Vogue profile of Starmer?
No.
No, not yet.
I did. But so in it, he says...
I saw the photo of him and his wife.
Yeah, lovely photo.
They look nice.
They look great. They say, Starmer says, I always say to my team, always act like you're 5 points behind. And that actually explains so much of what he does. Because he needs to, you don't need to act like this. This might swing you. This might get you 5% more to catch up with the Tories. It's not going to extend your lead. So you're 33 points ahead or whatever.
I don't know about that. The thing that really bothers me...
I see what you're saying, Ed, because I think, you have all this political capital. Spend it.
He's doing nothing.
He's
a 20-point cushion. To fuck up. And he's like, well, I better not do anything risky. I'm actually going to self-sabotage, if anything. this leads really embarrassing. This is actually undignified to be this far ahead. I want to make it sporting. I want to make it a good old contest.
People got really angry because I said on Newsnight I wasn't allowed to finish the point, so I'd like to use the space here,
Thank you so much.
What I was saying was that Rishi Sunak now has a more ambitious climate policy than Keir Starmer. So if you look at last year in September, Sunak announced his green new vision, sensible green transition, and it was seen as the most uninspiring bit of drivel that anyone has ever experienced, which is...
So that was a delay on the mandatory phasing out of petrol cars, the mandatory installation,
seven bins.
Yeah. Meat tax as well. I mean, they were kind of lies, weren't they? But he rode back on a lot of very important environmental commitments.
Yes. Electric cars, importantly, he extended the date for that. But in that, he committed $2 billion, albeit so £1.6 billion, to the UN Climate Fund. He also introduced the boiler scrappage scheme, which means that if you have a boiler that is not very good, you can get a hell of a government subsidy to replace it. those are two things that we're already now getting close to the £4 billion that Starmer has pledged to spend every year on green commitments. Mm. If you factor in the £500 million he's given to Tata, the other £500 million that he offered to Jaguar Land Rover, we're getting really close to Starmer's £4 billion. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Mm. Yes, absolutely.
And the most unambitious thing that Keir Starmer did was to get rid of the insulation policy. Do you remember that? He was going to insulate everyone's homes so that you'd have cheaper energy bills and so that you would have less carbon emissions, that it would just be better. He scrapped that. So you've now got the boiler scrappage scheme, much more ambitious than not insulating homes.
Yeah.
I can understand the Labour Party's frustration with this, because that number, 28 billion, has kind of become a bit of a stone, a bit of, what's the phrase they always use? Albatross around the neck or something like that? That's what they call it.
Yeah.
For what is essentially basically just industrial strategy. Like, the UK needs industrial strategy. The government hasn't published one. Darren Jones was fond of saying that when he was back on, when he was chairing that select committee. And this, you know, green prosperity deal, green transition, green new deal, call it what you want, is broadly an industrial strategy, right? And so, realistically, the actual level of capitalisation, the level of investment that's going into it, whether or not it amounts to 28 billion in the end, you can understand their frustration with, like, that obsession with that figure. Mm-hmm. And in the end, whether, you know, what they put in totals 20 billion or 21, or perhaps the, you know, the fiscal situation changes and they're able to put more in, so they get a little bit angry with it, fine. But I am so fed up with being relentlessly told that it is my moral obligation to remove the Conservatives from office, and no matter what the Labour Party does, I have to vote for the Labour Party. Mm. I have to vote for the Labour Party as the only credible option for removing the Conservatives. When, for all intents and purposes, Keir Starmer is intent on destroying every single aspect of their policy platform that in any way appeals to me. Mm-hmm. I think I've said it before on the pod that the last two things were the 28 billion and the new Charter on Workers' Rights. How long do you think the Charter on Workers' Rights stands before the next general election? Will it still be there in time? Because at this point, you're literally... I don't think it's good enough as a political leader to say, this other lot are terrible, aren't they? Vote for me. I think a leader's job is to lead, is to set out a political vision, and it's to empower, mobilise, energise, be a fucking political force, be a political movement. And managerialism, centrism, caution does not match the scale of the problem that we face.
No.
And I think very quickly, and again, I've said this before, I know, the scale of the problems we face, very, very quickly, his possibly ginormous landslide victory will and can be eroded away when people realise that the image of competency that he projects does not stand up to the challenges of the time. And despite the Conservative Party possibly facing electoral wipeout now, they could be back in government within 5 years. And that iteration of the Conservative Party, it would appear, will be a much more rabid, much more extreme, much more right-wing version of the one that we currently have, if you didn't think that was possible.
Yeah, he's going to have the shortest honeymoon.
Yeah,
when he becomes prime minister, he's going to get no grip. But then also, like, what will he? So the expectations are now so low to what he's going to do. Like, you can't disappoint me with nothing.
They're not, because pundits and commentators are saying things like, he's just doing this to get into office, and then when he gets into office, he'll start spending money. It's like, do you understand that you are either like going against the tide of what he wants you to do on comms or you are just completely wrong?
Yeah.
You know, if someone shows you who they are, you should believe them.
Yeah.
When you look at Angela Rayner this morning, she was talking about trade unions. She did a video and she was talking about joining a union, and I was thinking how incongruous that looked to the Starmer vision at the moment. It looked like a relic from 2 years ago. To say join a union, for why? For Wes Streeting to say that nurses and doctors shouldn't have a pay rise? Why would you join a union under Labour? I'm just posing it.
Well, that was a cheery episode, wasn't it?
I don't like how Labour are trotting out every ex-Tory that's defected to them, being like, look, we're right wing now. Isn't this brilliant? We got Nick Candy.
The Iceland guy, I really
like. Yeah, being like, there's
the
someone
Iceland
else.
Guy being like, I've changed nothing about myself. But suddenly I fit with Labour.
I like this guy.
He's got my ideas.
I'm writing the policy platform.
Oh, he's cooking. Look.
This is my manifesto.
Oh, look. He was cooking there.
No, I think younger voters, or people, not even younger voters, people with progressive politics are being told to take their medicine and vote for the Conservative Party. And you can do that if you want to. But in reality, the way to actually...
Do you mean Labour?
Yes, vote for the Labour Party. But in reality, the way to achieve, to actually, if you want to get a version of your politics, is to apply electoral pressure. It is, you do not just hold your nose and vote for them because they are the closest thing to what you want. If you actually want, I don't know, a socialist politics, if you actually want a progressive party, then your vote can't just be there for the Labour Party to abuse and take for granted.
Then who are you going to vote for? Where does that exist in this country?
It means possibly not voting.
Yeah.
You could start small. If you want something like, I don't know, a house, you could maybe
don't get it
write to your MP and say, I would like to give you my vote, but I would also like some guarantee that you will overhaul the local planning mortgage restrictions. I don't care that there's a couple of butterflies over the radioactive playground.
There's 2 10-foot butterflies.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. We can get Chris Packham down there ASAP.
We can't build any houses because these 2 10-foot Mothras are going to defend.
They're killing the builders.
They keep eating the bulldozers. And it just makes them stronger.
But the sewer of discourse is so boring at the moment. It's literally like hate Tory, love Labour. And if you say anything outside of that box, the some guy stopped me in a pub the other day. And it was nice. We had a really nice conversation. And then he said, you're being really harsh on Starmer. And I was thinking, God, we are so bloody centrist. I can't even think, like when were we that bad on Starmer? And he was like, he said to me, you just got to wait. When he gets into office, he'll fix it.
See, I hope when people say things like that, you just hope. I hope they're right. That'd be great. I don't think they're right.
No.
I'd like Starmer to prove us wrong.
I'd like him to get rid of Pat McFadden.
I think he just when someone, if your ambition or reason for suggesting or for suggesting that someone should vote for someone is because they're currently lying to you. Because that's essentially what that is, right? It's like, no, he's not being honest when he tells you right now that he's going to cut these things. Actually, when he gets into power, he's going to be fucking right on, dude. It's like, well, he's lying to you. He was lying to you during the Labour leadership election. He's lying to you now in the contest for a general election. Why do you think that makes him someone who's worthy of your support?
It's like marrying a man who shagged your sister.
How?
Because he lied to you throughout, and then you say, no, once you're married, he'll be very good to you.
Oh, so he shagged your sister when you were going out with him?
Yeah.
Right. I think it was just in general.
I've got a better one.
You're improving on that? No way.
You're dating a man, and he relentlessly takes away... keeps increasing your carbon footprint. And he says, after you get married, it'll return to normal.
and he buys another private jet.
Yes.
To just accompany him.
You get it.
I think we can all agree that was a brilliant metaphor.
Thank you.
That was sick.
Any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
One Day is very good on Netflix. I enjoyed it. Would recommend.
Do you think we should maybe start doing a cultural pod?
Yeah,
I thought you wanted to do another topic then. I was like, you can't be serious.
No. Of just things we've enjoyed.
Oh, shit, on Netflix, books.
Yeah.
You could do like a wizard book segment.
I've not read a wizard book. I've not read a wizard book in ages. Do you know what I watched the weekend? I watched June at the weekend. It was
June
sick.
1.
Yes.
So good.
It's so good. I'm excited. I'm going to read it.
I can't wait.
There's two.
There's a second one coming out in 2 months.
It got hammered by the strike, didn't it?
June 2 did?
I think so, really? Yeah.
You two should do a little pod by yourself that's cultural. And it could be like...
Ollie
like,
laughing at my recommendations.
It could be like things boys love, you know?
Jason Kelsey.
Yeah. You know. Boys and books.
Boys and books. Or just dudes rock. Just things that...
Dudes rock.
Things like...
We could do a separate dudes rock podcast every week.
Virginia Tech football team coming out to enter Sandman. I showed my girlfriend that at the weekend and I was like... She's not enjoying this, but God am I. This is unbelievable.
What did you show her?
It's the Virginia Tech American football team all enter to Enter Sandman by Metallica.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like...
No women in that, either.
What, in Metallica?
That's probably why she didn't like it.
There's women in the crowd. There's women at the football team, at the football game, and they all jump up and down. It's quite like American sports things.
Is there anything good about American football? They hit each other so hard.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's insane. They've all got...
It's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, they all get CTE, but it's not diagnosed until after they die, and they have an autopsy.
I know,
and their brains are just like mush.
I know rugby's bad, right? But I genuinely think the pads...
Oh, it
means
more
they hit
reckless.
Each other harder, right? Because they have the helmet.
They also use your head for the tackle as well, which is mental. Because in rugby, you don't do that.
Well, you can do that.
But you're not advised to. It's not the recommended technique.
But it's a spin pass over here.
But all these, all like Patrick Mahomes is not going to remember winning 3 Super Bowls.
Who?
The GOAT, Ava. You think he's the GOAT?
The GOAT. Yeah.
Kelsey's not going to remember marrying Taylor Swift.
Do you remember that tweet I sent you about that?
Yeah, that was really funny.
That was good.
Yeah. God, yeah. Have you seen the tweets where you can't spell squirrel?
Squirrel. Right, let's wrap it up. Thank you for listening to the Politics Joe podcast. You've got through all that. Congratulations. See you in the subreddit. See you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.